Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues by phone, and we invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, Richard Piper, it's good to be with you on this particular broadcast.
Yeah, thank you. It is fun. People ask us sometimes, how hard is it to do radio?
Oh,
well, we don't think about this as doing radio. We're just talking to people on the phone.
That's right.
So, you don't think about yourself. Just let God do what he's going to do.
Yeah.
One of the things God did was to give us this new covenant and to make us competent as ministers of the new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is out of 2 Corinthians 3. We've been talking about it all week. And I want to read part of the passage immediately following that verse 6, because it really explains why the new covenant is so important. Starting in verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away.
Yeah.
That is great. So powerful. And I read those verses today, and I'm thrilled about it. And then I remember that back in the dark ages for me, I never knew that 2 Corinthians 3 was in the Bible.
Yeah.
I never read it, never heard about it. It was never referred to, because I had the answers I need. I believed what I knew to be truth. And, I was one of God's chosen people.
Right.
That's what I thought. And I didn't have an answer for why my life wasn't going the direction I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
One day, somebody said, well, Richard, have you ever read 2 Corinthians 3? And at that time, my wife and I were studying like crazy to figure out what it is we believed. And so we said, okay, we'll read 2 Corinthians. And we started reading this.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sat there and looked at each other. We had never ever in our lives seen this.
Yeah.
It used to be the way we thought about it was, well, if anybody ever says the law doesn't hold today, that means they're antinomians and they're going to be lost.
Yeah.
Listen to Paul's words. The law came with glory. The very glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, lived in the tabernacle, mm-hmm. and then later in Solomon's temple, filled that temple. But it was there. It was outside of the people, just like the law was outside of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have what Paul calls the surpassing glory. And what does that mean? That means the very Holy Spirit of God, the Shekinah glory of God, the mind of Christ, has taken up residence inside every one of his children. And we have this glory that is just overflowing us if we will let the Spirit do what the Spirit has promised to do and finish the work he started.
Mm-hmm.
This new covenant is not better because it has trashed the old covenant. It's better because it's internal. The Mosaic covenant, the old covenant, was always external to the people. God designed it that way. It was glorious. It had incredible pictures. It did exactly what God wanted it to do. But Jesus came. And everything in that old covenant pointed forward to Jesus, and he became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God. He brought us eternal life because he was raised from the dead. And now we have that glory of the new covenant living inside of us. Nothing can be better than that. Don't think about the law in terms of, well, it's terrible, because it's not. It's glorious. But the surpassing glory is this new covenant, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yes, indeed. That is good stuff. This is Basic Gospel. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm Bob Davis. I'm here with Richard Piper on this particular broadcast. Bob Christopher has the day off. We have open lines, so you can be a part of this one at 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, let's go to Farmingdale, New York, and talk to John, who listens to our great New York area affiliate, WMCA. Hi, John. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Dean, sir. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Okay. I believe you folks have said that you can't lose salvation. Once somebody's truly born again, they can't lose salvation. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it talks about later days, the Holy Spirit says that some will depart from the faith, giving heed, following doctrines of demons.
Yep.
So it looks like, I'm sure people can repent of that, but how could it be, how is it not possible if those are true servants of God and they leave? They stop following God. Would Christ be able to save them if they died and then say, well done, thou good and faithful servant?
Well, the issue becomes, what does it mean to abandon the faith? In the context of this particular passage, the faith refers to the proper belief system. I'm not just making that up. A lot of other people will say that.
Okay.
So these are people like in Hebrews 6 who have been hanging around and playing the game and wearing the mask and looking for all the world like they're believers. You know that we can do that. I used to do that myself. Okay? Went to church every week. Everybody looked at Richard and said, wow, what a guy. And I was completely empty on the inside. So it's possible to fake your way through the church. And in a passage like this, what you need to say is, so does this particular passage apply to me? Am I in danger of following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons? Am I following a hypocritical liar, as verse 2 puts it? And then you begin to see what they're teaching. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. And you know, right. what they're getting into is this gross legalism that is possible even within the church. And so if I am susceptible to that, then the shoe might fit, and I need to put it on and say, Lord Jesus, clarify for me what it is I'm getting wrong here. And if I am saved, then the Spirit has been the whole time saying, Richard, don't go there. You know, pay attention. Don't go there. If I'm not saved, and I'm looking at this and saying, well, I thought being in church counted for something, but apparently it doesn't, then I can say, Lord Jesus, somehow I got this wrong. I need to believe in you the proper way and to accept you so that I have salvation. So I think rather than saying, you know, be careful or you'll lose your salvation, this is one of those pay attention to who it is, to whom you're listening, because you can be led astray. Saved people can be led astray. They won't be lost. They'll be brought back by the Spirit, hopefully. They will come to their senses. Lost people can be led away and still be lost, or they can find out that being led away isn't worthwhile and can then say, well, Lord Jesus, obviously I got this wrong. Save me. And Jesus is happy to do that. So as long as you're still alive, you can repent of your unbelief, or you can, that's for the lost person, you can become saved, or you can repent of your confusion for the saved person and get your mind renewed by the indwelling Spirit. So rather than a statement of you're all doomed, this is one of those important warnings to just pay attention to whom you're listening and what they're teaching, and does it agree with the revealed Word of God, the message of Jesus.
Okay, well, I think that scripture, I forget where it is, it would have been better not to have known the way of truth than having known it to trample it underfoot and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you're mixing a couple of verses there, but the biggest one there is Hebrews 10. Yeah, if you refuse to accept who Jesus is and what he's done, which is what Hebrews 10 is about, and you keep going back to the sacrificial system. No, we don't believe that Jesus died for all my sins. I'm going to keep offering sacrifices. I'm just going to cover my bets. And right. The writer to Hebrews was saying, if you do that, then you're trampling the blood of the covenant that sanctified you. So if you refuse to come to truth in that situation, you probably weren't saved in the first place. If you were saved in the first place and you've been doing that, the realization of that will stop you in your tracks. I know that's true because there was one day back when I was a senior in high school that I'd been faking it my whole life. And I wanted to date this girl, and this girl wanted to go to a Bible study. And the only way I was going to date her was to go to the Bible study. So I went to the Bible study, and I'm faking it, right? I'm trying to be Holy Joe Richard. And the Bible study teachers said something to me that literally stopped me in my tracks. And I don't remember today what it was, but I know they were talking about the love of God and how important yes. Jesus is. And it stopped me right in my tracks, and I got saved that night. Hmm. Now, to the rest of the congregation, to the rest of the people I knew, nothing changed in Richard. But I know that night I was saved because I heard the truth, and it stopped me. Now, was I completely prepared for doing anything? No, I still had all this garbage in my mind about legalism yeah. that had to be purged out. But I know it's possible. I've also known people that for all the world they were saved, and something happened, and all they could say was curse God, and they used the expletives to curse him. And you go, what happened? And the only thing you can say is they were never saved in the first place. So you go to them and you say, look, this is dangerous territory. What about your belief system before did this terrible thing that happened to you cause you to completely disregard, to turn away from God? I mean, is it really that serious? And chances are what they were doing is rejecting a belief system rather than rejecting God and rejecting Jesus. And so, you know, what we tend to do as Christians so often is to judge each other when this stuff happens, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should be coming alongside each other and saying, look, man, this is a dangerous path you're on. Is there something I can right. do to help you understand and come back to the real Jesus rather than whatever it was you imagined him to be?
That's a great explanation. What is the website, sir?
It's basicgospel.net. Basicgospel.net. A lot of good things there.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thanks for your call, John.
Good to hear from you, John. Over to Grand Rapids, Michigan, let's talk to Paul, listening on WFUR, a longtime affiliate. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the broadcast.
Well, glad to talk to you fellas again.
Yeah, good to hear from you.
How's it going?
I want to talk about where is the user-friendliness taking the church?
In some cases, it's taking people straight to hell. In other cases, it's bringing people to Jesus.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about preaching that downplays God's wrath does not enhance evangelism. It undermines it. And how deeply has the tendency to deny hell penetrated evangelism? Nearly half, 46%, feel preaching about hell to unbelievers is in poor taste. 3 out of every 10 self-professed born-again Christians, good people will go to heaven, and 1 in every 10 evangelicals say they believe the concept of sin is outmoded.
Yeah,
I found that in the end of the gospel.
Yeah, that and those numbers are actually getting worse over time, and that's a tragedy. What that proves is that we never can presume to know what someone believes. We can't know if someone is saved or lost. So what we do as people who do believe in a hell and who do believe in Jesus saving us from that sort of thing, and taking the love and grace of God in Christ to anyone who will listen, that's an appropriate response. One of the reasons people go that direction is because they've been taught incorrectly their whole lives, and they realize that what they've been taught is meaningless. And rather than saying, well, this is meaningless, is there any meaning, they just throw the whole thing out. Well, they're good to reject the meaningless teaching.
God is mean sending somebody to hell, especially if there's fire there and gnashing of teeth and whatever the Bible says. They don't take that serious. I think they
yeah.
They don't think that's literal.
I think a lot of most people should question the common understanding of hell. Hell is definitely taught in the Bible, right? It's where God sends
more
people.
More about hell than heaven, I think.
But more people think that hell is some place where God is torturing people and that Satan's in charge and he's running around with a pitchfork. That is not true. And when people have been tried, when certain people have tried to scare other people into the kingdom, scaring them in doesn't work. Talking about a true choice, you can live or you can die. And the fact is, you're spiritually dead and you need Jesus. And if you accept Jesus, you will never have to worry about eternal death again because you will have eternal life. That is freeing. And so much of what we've taught in the past is meaningless, drivel. It really is. We put people under guilt. We put them under law. We say it's all up to you, and none of that is true. It's all up to Jesus and my response to him. And so,
I look at it this way. We all should go to hell. It's only through the mercy of God that we are saved.
Absolutely. In fact, Paul says that we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's in Ephesians. Well, you know, and I know, that we're not seated there yet, but what he's talking about is in eternity, we're seated there already. Well, the same thing could be said about hell for the lost. The lost are already in hell. And
they
Jesus
put themselves
came.
There themselves,
yeah, Jesus came to break that hold. He came to do away with the sin problem, to close the gap that existed between you and me and God. And he did that, and then he came back to life and offers us eternal life because of his resurrection. And that fact is life-changing, and that's why we preach what we preach.
Well,
and
I
feel so sorry for people who have to put up with something that is not the gospel because it really is hurting them. And
sure is. You bet.
So pray for those people. If you get a chance to talk to one of them, take them to Jesus, the real Jesus, and watch what happens.
I tried to do that.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul, always good to hear from you. Thanks for calling, brother. Hope you have a wonderful weekend in the Lord Jesus. Richard, something we're very, very excited about here at Basic Gospel is a brand-new conference we've been constructing over the last couple or 3 months. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. Andrew Farley, Bob Christopher, John Lynch will be the speakers at this conference coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. And I'm not going to belabor the point right now, but just wanted to get this out there and let you know, friends, that you can get information on it at basicgospel.net. It's a brand new feature on our website, and you'll find it on the front page there, basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take a look at it. Consider coming and being with us. It's going to be a fantastic time. June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. All right, going to go talk to our friend Gil, listening in New York on WMCA. Hi, Gil. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, it's a pleasure and a treasure. God bless you guys and Bob Davis. Sometimes when you're talking to me, Bob Davis, you've been on the radio for years with Bob George, and now with Christopher and Bob Christopher, I feel like I got to listen to you because you guys know what you're talking about, and you guys love the Lord, and I feel it. I wanted to ask you a question just to clarify for the listeners that are listening all over. I know that in Matthew 5:17 it says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." But then verse 19 talks about anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so, it says, will be called least in the kingdom of God or heaven.
Yes.
But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I just wonder if you can clarify that. I think I understand it, but I just want to see if we can just clarify it more, because sometimes people come and say, well, I'm teaching false because I'm teaching this grace gospel.
Yeah.
And I really understand it now more so today than before on the first part of your program.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take the first part of this, verse 17.
Yep.
What part of the law did Jesus not fulfill?
Right.
He fulfilled the entirety of the law.
When
Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." And
the
word he used was, "I have reached my goal. I have done everything that I needed to do to remove sin as this great separation between humans and God." And he did that, according to Galatians, from being under the law. He was born under law, therefore he taught under law, and he would never teach against the law because, as we talked about earlier, the law had glory. The law is God's law, is Jesus' law, the Mosaic Covenant. So he lived under that law, but he lived under that law by faith, right? He didn't do anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. He didn't say anything that the Father didn't tell him to say. And so, you know, if you want to say, well, what would Jesus do? The answer is he would walk by faith. Now, he walked by faith in his Father. You and I walk by faith because we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Things have changed. Under the old covenant, people didn't have the indwelling spirit. They only had the law and the ceremonies to deal with things like sin and thankfulness and all the rest. So Jesus came and he fulfilled every one of those while he was under that old covenant, teaching under it. And by the way, Matthew 5 through 7, the so-called Sermon on the Mount, is the greatest exposition of the law ever given in the history of the world. Jesus explained the law so perfectly and so completely and so causing us to be damned by the explanation of it, because he said this isn't about outward behavior. This is about your thought life, your attitudes toward each other, toward God. And so he would say, never set aside one of these provisions of the law, one of these commands, because under the law, if you do that, you will be lost. At the same time, while he was living under that law and teaching under that law, he was fulfilling that law, and when he died, that law was done, especially for the children of Israel. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then he's raised from the dead, and he goes back to the Father, goes back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit is given to the children of God. And the Holy Spirit does in us what the law could never have done outside of us. And so now, what do we live by? We live by believing that Jesus is the Christ, and we live by loving others as he loved us. That takes what the law said, which was to believe in the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as you love yourself, and it raises it an infinite level. Because the love God and love others as yourself can be done externally. Loving as God has loved you and believing that Jesus is the Christ is something that is done internally by the indwelling Holy Spirit. And it's the only way that it can happen. So Jesus exactly told the truth, and Jesus exactly completed the law, fulfilled the law. The law was not abolished. The law was fulfilled, and Jesus did it. And now the Spirit living in us causes us to live as he would have us live.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
That's exactly what he's talking about.
Yo, thank you for your call, my brother. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Thank you so much.
See you, Gil.
Yeah. Richard, let's talk about this new exciting resource we have called the New Covenant Journey. Tell us about it.
Oh, well, this is a Bible study guide, and what we've done is to take all of the key issues of Christianity, like who is Jesus, what's the Bible all about, what is forgiveness, what is salvation, what is identity and law and grace, and how do you live this life, and wrapped it in the New Covenant. And so the first two chapters are about the New Covenant. And we use that as the outline, as the surrounding cloth of the entire argument. If the New Covenant is true, then what does that say about Jesus?
Yeah.
Fact, what does Jesus say about the New Covenant?
Right.
What does the Bible say about it? What is salvation? What is forgiveness? All of these things are answered in the context of the New Covenant. And then we go clear into how do I live my life?
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody really wants. That's the bottom line. Okay,
right.
This stuff all sounds good, but how am I supposed to get home tonight in this traffic? And surprisingly, perhaps, the New Covenant speaks exactly to that. And so we wrap this whole thing up in faith, hope, and love, which is the message of the New Covenant.
Absolutely. Well, it's called the New Covenant Journey. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, and you can make your gift by going to basicgospel.net or by calling during Central Time office hours, 1-800-727-2828. It's yours for a gift of any amount, the New Covenant Journey. Well, thanks for being with us for this broadcast, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, Bob Davis. God bless you, and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ.